This is AC Primetime Radio.
Atlantic County, County Executive Denny Levinson. My name is Mel Taylor from AC Primetime Radio. He was a councilman for the city of Northfield. He was also an Atlantic County freeholder at large. He was first elected to the position of Atlantic County Executive back in 1999. Almost, 30 years in public schools, Northfield history teacher. I understand maybe one of the most popular history teachers. That's what they say. Denny Levinson, welcome to AC Primetime Radio.
Well, thank you very much. It's my pleasure to be here.
Born and raised, I think you're a Ventnor guy, if I'm not mistaken.
Ventnor from the time I was a little baby, yeah.
Where did that story come from? The most popular history teacher in the school's history. That's what I read up on Wikipedia.
Well, I love teaching. I thought it was, and most teachers, you go into the profession with the idea that, you know, you want to give back something. You know you're not going to get rich. You know you're not going to go on lavish vacations. And so people that do decide that they're going to go to college and get their degree in education realize its limitations as far as monetary is concerned. So you really look at people with no axe to grind that are dedicated to something a little bigger than financial success.
I'm assuming that being a school teacher prepared you well for the world of politics, I guess, in terms of speaking, making an argument, keeping your cool.
It's a natural progression. Obviously, especially in public schools, parents don't have a choice in many cases of where their children are going to be for a solid year of their lives. And there is an obligation and a responsibility that every teacher has if they feel that way. I tried to always make sure that each child felt important and that the curriculum that I put together at least was something that they could fall back on throughout their lives.
This is AC Primetime Radio with Mel Taylor.
New Jersey is a very unique animal. I was told that there's a way of describing it as much control in the hands of a few. Governor Murphy, Senate President Sweeney, and State Assembly Speaker Antonio Suarez. Three guys that have an awful lot of power in the state of New Jersey. How did that happen? And how does Denny Levinson, the county executive, how does that all play out?
You need their blessing to get anything done through the state. And the governor of the state of New Jersey, not speaking about Governor Murphy or all governors that are elected in New Jersey become the most powerful executive in the country, with the exception of the president. The governor of New Jersey has vast powers that were given to him by the state legislature, and which makes the governor of New Jersey the most powerful governor in the country, with the exception of those governors that have the same powers as the New Jersey governor, but they have a vast power, and along with that power comes responsibility.
That's a double-edged sword, isn't it?
Well, sometimes that responsibility is squandered. You don't have to look back too far in our history to see what occurred.
The dream team of a staff that you have there. Howard Kyle, your chief of staff. He also plays a role in the CRDA board. Jerry Del Rosso, your administrator, and your deputy county administrator, Ms. Rutala. Your credit rating as a county is impeccable, and you've come to the rescue of Atlantic City more than a few times.
More than a few times. In fact, we have an extraordinary treasurer that you left out, Bonnie Lindau. She is a wizard with numbers and has made sure that our bond rating, along with my administrative staff, have double A with a positive outlook. And just an example, when Stockton wanted to come to Atlantic City, Stockton is a state university. We put our faith and credit behind their bonds.
In essence, you almost were a co-signer for the governor in a way?
Let's look at it this way. The state of New Jersey under Governor Christie, their bonding was downgraded 11 times in the 8 years he was in. Atlantic City couldn't finance it. They went almost on a junk bond status. So my suggestion was, why don't you have us take a look at it? Our debt service is 0.5% of our equalized value, possibly the best in the state, maybe the country. I was very, very frugal as county executive, and we were in a position to make this occur. The governor, that was his show that day of the groundbreaking.
No shovel for Denny. What's up with that?
It was, everybody was patting themselves on the back that Stockton was here. They ignored county government.
I didn't see Mayor Gilliam there. Out of respect, you might think that some of these key individuals would be at least close by.
Well, I mean, the guy that made it occur, or the people that made it occur, were its county government. If it wasn't for Dr. Kesselman, with a shout out to Denny Levinson and county government, we wouldn't have been mentioned.
He was a gentleman, that's why. Mr. Kesselman is a gentleman. He's also from South Philly. That's where I was born as well. Maybe that's in our blood a little bit. So you won the election to become county executive back in 99, 2003, 2007, 2011. What about a sixth term, 2019?
I am looking forward to another term, you know, and I've talked this over with my staff. And, you know, if they were going to go, I probably would go also.
Have you officially made that statement yet?
Well, it's, you know, whether you're going to discuss what you're going to do two elections from now is a little bit out of the ordinary, but the county is in extraordinary good shape. Our debt service is extremely low.
We're talking with County Executive Denny Levinson. My name is Mel Taylor. This is AC Primetime Radio. Mr. Levinson and I were in agreement, I believe, with one of Denny's previous statements about the governor, Mr. Murphy. I think we disagree a good bit on his efforts politically, but I think we both find Mr. Murphy likable, approachable. Your feelings on Mr. Murphy right now, especially in light of the millionaire's tax he's trying to push through, his thoughts on sanctuary cities and immigrants and sanctuary states and marijuana and cannabis, free tuition?
Let me say at the outset, when you ask me about Governor Murphy, our politics are pretty far apart. He's a progressive Democrat, liberal. I'm fairly conservative, especially when it comes to the financial. And we're pretty far apart as far as that's concerned. But he is a man of integrity, a man of honor. And the interesting thing about this governor, he ran on, I'm going to raise your taxes. And I have never, you know, I've studied history. I taught history. I give lectures on American history and the presidency. And
don't say that.
I have never, ever seen a politician who was running for anything that said, and by the way, when I get in, I'm going to raise your taxes. And maybe, you know, if you that's the positive end that he said, this is what I'm going to do, and the people elected him. And Kim Guadagno, you know, was hooked at the hip with him and couldn't shake him. That could have something to do with it. But he ran and said, this is what I'm going to do.
Mr. Murphy, our governor, has finally admitted that he has, on occasion, once or twice, taken a marijuana cigarette to his lips. You think he'll get that cannabis legalization through? He's having trouble getting it passed from both sides of the aisle.
He's having the problems with he has a veto-proof majority in the legislature. And he has to worry about his people lining up. I know a very powerful senator from up north, Senator Rice, who is an ally of both the Lieutenant Governor Sheila Oliver and the governor, has his doubts about it, and it's questioning it. It's going to be a heavy lift. But at the same time, you know, the revenues that come in is what he's looking at, and the governor has put the emphasis on social justice more than, at least this is what I've read, the emphasis is on social justice, the incredible amount of minorities that are incarcerated, which is something, by the way, we don't do in this county. This is something that, you know, I have pushed with the prosecutors.
So explain what don't you do as a county in regards to the marijuana incarcerations?
It's not just the marijuana. It's you know, what we try to do is
nonviolent crime.
The nonviolent crimes, and when we do arrest the people, the junkies and the people that are addicted, while we have them incarcerated, we try to help them. If you go to drug court and you are tested on a weekly basis, you are not incarcerated, and after 3 years of drug court, you graduate.
A fair amount of funding opposing marijuana legislation or legalization coming out of the pharmaceutical companies, especially in a state with so many pharmaceutical companies that could be disrupted by these new uses of cannabis.
Well, no, don't cry for me, pharmaceutical companies. Whether marijuana would cut into the pharmaceutical monopoly, that's a stretch.
This is AC Primetime Radio.
What's not a stretch is that there are inefficiencies with the 500 plus municipalities throughout the state of New Jersey, but shared services, something that you have been pushing for years, some of it's right there in front of you, but you just can't get more buy-in from the municipalities within the county.
Mel, this is something that I have been pushing since before I got into government. And it is 565 municipalities and 611 school districts, some school districts without even schools. And which, by the way,
they're called sending districts.
Yeah, okay. If you took those numbers, Longport's one, if you took those numbers and you took, remember, in 565 municipalities, if you looked at Pennsylvania, Maryland, and Delaware, if you put them all together, you wouldn't come close to the amount of municipalities we have in little New Jersey. And look, we share services with Brigantine, with, you know, rather than go over the bridge and plow because it's a county road, when you get over the bridge, I pay them for time and material for them to do it. That's shared service. With our nutrition sites, Meals on Wheels, these are shared services with Atlantic City. Transportation, shared services with Atlantic City. I could go on with the shared services we have. Unless we put behind us this archaic idea of home rule, we are not going to solve the problem of New Jersey being the highest tax state in the country. Now, and a history lesson for you. When this country was first formed, our founding fathers did not promise us efficiency. That's one thing they never got into. What they did promise us was government of the people, for and by the people. And consequently, they made sure there were layers of government, whether it's municipal, township, borough, and then you had your counties, and then you had your state government. So you had these layers of taxing, and then your federal government, of course, can look at it as a pair of pants with four pockets, you know, and everybody is taxing you.
Didn't Governor Murphy make an announcement that he appointed a shared services czar and maybe some penalties for those who do not pay respect to that czar?
Well, let's get it done. I think Murphy has a unique opportunity right now to give incentives for towns to share services and coordinate. Look, the biggest expenses that a town has, it's public safety and education.
Local rule. They're not a big fan of sharing services in regards to public safety. And I'm assuming they wouldn't want to give up the power of assessing property values by having a county-wide assessment of property values. I see a lot of upside to that for consistency. But if I was a local mayor or a local tax assessor, I wouldn't be too pleased with somebody from the outside telling me what that house was worth and what that house was worth.
Well, if you have independent appraisers, you shouldn't have a problem with that. If properties are overtaxed, like they were in Atlantic City, the casinos, you would want an independent appraiser to come in and give you true value.
And show a far wide breadth of comparables.
Now, Mel, you may say, well, why isn't that occurring? That seems like a no-brainer. Because they do not allow the state legislature. I guess the assessor's lobby is extremely powerful because you cannot do this. I cannot do that unilaterally. I need the state of New Jersey to pass legislation to allow it.
What's the likelihood they see a benefit in that?
I'm sure they see a benefit in that, but there's a downside as far as they're concerned with...
too much control by one organization?
You know, let me, instead of just talking about the assessor's lobby, the Israeli lobby, the NRA, the teacher's lobby, they don't have a vote in Congress of the United States or in your state legislators, but they are extraordinarily powerful. Why? Because the elected officials kowtow to these special interests. This is what occurs. And I mean, we're running two people for Congress right now, a Democrat and a Republican. Both have an A-plus rating from the NRA.
Now, that's right.
You know, I mean, so much for... now, they both do. Is that good? Is that bad? Well, I'll let your listeners make that determination. But as far as gun control was concerned, or they seem to be in lockstep. So...
We are talking to County Executive Denny Levinson. My name is Mel Taylor. This is acprimetime.com, AC Primetime Radio. Any updates, anything you can share right now? You and your team did a great job. You deserve a lot of credit for doing what's best for Atlantic County taxpayers, going up against the state, the constitutionality of the pilot bill, et cetera. Any updates? I think it's just about that process is almost done.
There is an update here. What the pilot did when the Christie administration hired a law firm, Chiesa Law Firm, to come in and take over Atlantic City. You know, they walked away with over close to $6 million in their pockets and then said, look, they declared victory and said, look what we've done in Atlantic City. We've lowered taxes. Well, they lowered taxes by instituting a pilot program which put the taxes that they saved in Atlantic City on the backs of the rest of the county, the other 22 municipalities. Remember, with this pilot, $3 billion of casino value was removed from our tax base. I mean, that's not sustainable. So consequently, when we supported this pilot, we were given the word of the governor, and we were given the word by everyone that was concerned that the 13.5% is a reality, so we'll make you whole, he just flat-out double-crossed us.
It's not every day where you have that promise in front of a group of people on video and on YouTube and on the front page of the Atlantic County website.
I put it on. You know, that's what Levinson said. He said that the governor and that the state, that they promised this. And it's so telling, the video and the... That he promised, and I'm a man of my word, and Denny knows when I give it, and then absolutely.
When you were standing there in the back, in the back of your head, were you going?
No, at the time,
you fully believe.
I was just as enamored with the governor as everybody else was at the time, and he's to waste that type of talent that he had, the charisma, the intelligence, and you know he was his own worst enemy, and. But he had a vindictive side.
Is that the position? So he had that inside of him, but when he became governor, and as we discussed a few moments ago, that being the governor of New Jersey brings all these new powers.
No one knew. In fact, he ran those two terms and in a Democrat state and was extremely successful. No one saw that, the vile individual that he was, how dishonest he was and how untrustworthy. I mean, let's just take the bridge closing. On the George Washington Bridge, allowing a single mother in her early 40s with four children to take the rap and possibly go to jail, which, by the way, she was convicted. They're appealing it, I think, says it all.
Oh, his staff members were taking the fall. That's right, yeah.
Well, look, the bridge was closed for 4 or 5 days, so if it was such a fiasco and I knew nothing, open it in the same day or open it the next day, that didn't occur. So... what they did to Atlantic City and to Atlantic County and what he did to the taxpayers here, he did with forethought and with venom. It's unfortunate, but it did occur.
But there was also some collateral damage. One example would be your son, Matt, with the Casino Control Commission. What's Matt doing now?
Matt's got a very good job. He's very comfortable. And by the way, I never asked, or nor did Matt ask for the position. It was given to him. Would he like to? He was making more money prior to that, but that's the way you keep people in control. And if you ask Chris Christie, he would, and Jim Whalen signed off on him being reappointed. If you ask Chris Christie, he'll sit there and say, hey, look, I let his son sit there, that nomination, and Levinson had all the chances in the world to drop that case against the state, and he didn't. So you can blame him, not me. I mean, this is
This is the reasoning.
Did Mr. Christie actually say those words, something to that effect?
He made it very clear to me and to his an individual from North Jersey that would call me and call my son and promise not just that, but other things. And, you know, it was always by innuendo that these things have to be put to bed. And it never was. And even though I said to my son, look, this is not a lifetime job. It's only another term. So what? And the interesting thing about it, we have a letter that of Christie praising my son and his distinguished service. So then, of course, things went awry when I did not capitulate. But I was not going to put this pilot. He was going to keep his word. And by the way, he blamed us by saying, Christie said, well, I would have given a 13.5% if the county had stepped up and helped Atlantic City. Well, what do you want us to do? The press even opened, you know, what do you asked the county to do? They couldn't come up with anything. We decided ourselves. We offered $100 million for the MUA, and then we would give it back to them when they got off their on their feet with a reverter clause. We're doing their Meals on Wheels. We're doing providing food and nutrition sites. We're doing portions of their public health. We also offered to do their trash and recycling.
But Mr. Christie suggested that was not enough.
Reimagine and reinvent.
If you were providing guidance, which of course you're not, to the city of Atlantic City and how to deal with the state, the CRDA, the pilot situation, Judge Mendez, what's missing there?
These counties and municipalities serve at the pleasure of the state. We are... We exist because of the state. And everyone thinks that, well, gee whiz, when the state took over Atlantic City in, 2016 or whatever it was, when they put the Chiesa firm in there, that the state was in, when Christie became governor, they controlled Atlantic City since 2010. They had somebody in the financial office. In fact, I was in a debate with a former mayor, Lorenzo Lankford, you know, criticizing the assessments and the budget and the debt. And he kind of put me in my place and he said, hey, whoa, time out. The state has been in my finance office. We haven't made a move without them okaying it. So don't blame us. The state has had control of finances in Atlantic City for the past 8 years, which is something most people don't know, but they were there. The takeover was just to make sure that there was a substantial payday that was involved here. I mean, you had one of the most connected, expensive law firms that ran Atlantic City. And how did they solve the problem? By putting the taxes on the rest of the county and then doing a victory lap saying, look what we did for the taxes in Atlantic City.
How about Matt Doherty, former mayor of Belmar, soon to be chief of the CRDA? Have you met Matt yet?
I had lunch with him yesterday. Nice man.
I think he has the chops. He's a small Jersey Shore mayor. He has experience in those situations where you have to be an attraction-based economy.
Well, they're limited in what they can do, the CRDA. You know, they run the tourism district. His ideas, I think, are extraordinary, which everyone had tried to do, you know, to demolish those old dumps that were there, the fire traps that... make the city unsightly in many cases and very dangerous. And this is a priority that he has, and I hope that he's successful. He really he's full of spit and vinegar right now. He wants to get the job done, and he's a talented guy and seems a very bright guy. So I have high hopes for the organization.
Leaving local radio and newspaper in our digital dust. This is AC Primetime Radio with Mel Taylor.
We are talking to County Executive Denny Levinson from the County of Atlantic. My name is Mel Taylor. A few years back, you hired a man who was a very smart man, has one of the greatest names of all time, Angelo Angelou from Angelou Economics. First question, did you take him out for lunch to Angelo's Fairmount Tavern? Just asking.
Well, we did a search and we came up with Angelo and Angelou to put together the plan for Atlantic County's future. not only was his the best plan, but he was also the cheapest. Which, by the way, going out for the RFP, we did not have to take the cheaper one, but he was...
It was a roadmap, but basically an instruction booklet. It was really well written. Even for the layman, they'd be able to figure it out and listen and understand.
We cannot be Atlantic City-centric here in the county. And that's what every other plan has had. Gee whiz, if Atlantic City, helped, that's not, we can't continually be a one-horse town that won just tourism for years and years, as long as anybody can remember, in the 20s and 30s, we have to diversify. We just can't have a three-month economy. We need more than just tourism. And that's what we're doing right now.
The airport is probably the big enchilada. If we can get that going.
We have the premier facility over there at the tech center, and we ought to capitalize on it, the underutilization of the airport.
Fresh new approach to the Garden State Growth Zone Initiative. Mr. Christie, once again, kind of put the kibosh on that.
On the way out the door, just to send a message down here, guess what? I'm still going to screw you on the way out in the last 24 hours. He just, as I said, he went out like a chump. Just for spite, he vetoed it. This governor understands the value of this. He understands that the airport is a gem that has not been polished, that the utilization of that and for cargo. And we believe developing that airport with the aviation park. But what we need is a trained workforce. That's why when I became county executive, one of my biggest objectives was to turn the vocational school into a tech school, which is what we did. The Atlantic County Institute of Technology is the old VOTEC.
Dr. Phil Gunther.
Dr. Phil Gunther, we worked hand in hand. We now have a comprehensive high school with a graduation rate up to about 99%. We have to turn students away, one of the few high schools that kids want to go to.
So that was a VOTEC originally, and then it started to evolve into a full-blown high school?
What we did was we did it. We wanted to make it comprehensive. We wanted to teach science and technology. We wanted the kids to get out of there and pursue their vocations.
You mean no gender studies?
No gender studies.
Oh, okay. I didn't know about that.
Now, remember, what we did, we took a school that was small motors and mechanical and hairdressing, and we turned this into a comprehensive high school, which, by the way, a blue ribbon school, one of the top high schools in the state of New Jersey, and most certainly up in the higher echelon of technical schools anywhere.
So it's proof that, Mr. Gunther, what he's done there with ACIT, it's proof that you don't necessarily have to go to college, and you could have an incredibly fulfilling life and a career by doing well at something like ACIT.
That is correct. And by the way, just for an aside, we have one school board for the tech school and for our special services school with kids with devastating disabilities. One administration, one, we have a business administrator, one lawyer, one board of ed. So you can consolidate and you can, and that's something that people don't even know that we did.
And I think, if I'm not mistaken, the cost per pupil to go to school there is somewhere about 15, 16, 17, where Atlantic City High School might be 27 grand.
We're extremely reasonable. Where the difficulty is with the municipalities with our school is when the student leaves, they take the money with them. And this is something that...
What does that say that again?
Well, if you have a classroom of 25 children and three of those children go to VOTEC, the money will follow them. But the municipality is still paying that teacher the full amount of salary, even though they're three students short. So that is something that has to be worked out, and it should be worked out on the state level, because we do get complaints from municipalities because of their... And by the way, the students go there on application. They wish to go there. They apply to go there, and they're judged on their performance, and it's competitive.
It almost sounds like a charter school.
It does sound like a charter school, except that it's not.
But it embraces the positive aspects of a charter school.
Well, we're far more successful than the charter schools, and
ours from the time we put this together, whether it's performing arts or in science, technology, with the, we have been extraordinarily successful. That is not the case with many of the charter schools that have gone under and have gone bankrupt and have not been as successful as they should be. That's for another day, Mel.
This is AC Primetime Radio.
Sports betting, is it good or bad for the economy of Atlantic City and Atlantic County?
It'd be great. It would be terrific. In fact, you know, I'm more of a libertarian than I am a Republican in many cases. You know, leave people alone. As long as they're not hurting themselves or somebody else, but to sit there and say to people, you cannot bet on the Super Bowl legally in New Jersey. You cannot. Now, you know, it is just something that is just beyond my comprehension.
But in regards to the movement towards more of this gaming activity happening online, not being mandatory, you know, not mandatorily being forced to, you must do your gambling inside of a casino. Isn't there a challenge, a potential risk by having people online gamble and not necessarily visit Atlantic County and Atlantic City?
Well, online gaming is a success. It does generate revenue. And, you know, to have Sportsbook, which, by the way, has been controlled by the mob forever. In other words, if Mel Taylor made a bet on the NBA and the playoff series and you lost, well, you're carried over, Mel, and you're carried over again. You may call your bookmaker and say, look, I want to double down on this. I want to, you're carried. By the way, you better pay up. Now, with that said, with casino gaming, a sports book, or what you have to pay up front. You're not going to be carried. So consequently, you're also not going to get your legs broken. And it is just seems to me that if the state of Delaware and Nevada and Oregon can have it, why can't New Jersey? So we're in court right now. We believe we will win this case because any judge has to see the folly of saying, no, you can't. Now, they may put a caveat on there that you cannot bet Jersey sports, which means in the Giants. The Jets, Rutgers, and
you may have to pay an integrity fee.
Well, that is, you know, this is why.
What's that all about?
Holy cow.
What does that mean? Hi, I'm going to pay you money because I'm going to promise, scout's honor, I will not be doing something nefarious and stealing and monkey business.
Well, if you can give Carlos Santana $60 million, don't tell me about they don't have the money. They need integrity so they can keep it honest. Holy mackerel. A bunch of millionaire players, billionaire owners.
Are you comfortable in verbalizing or vocalizing your thoughts on Margate's consideration of rebuilding their boardwalk?
I think most certainly it should be considered, for sure. To dismiss it out of hand, I think, would be the wrong thing to do. What is this going to entail? How much is it going to cost? Especially if you have a town, a summer town like Margate, where most of the homes are dark and owned by second homes, it would not be that great a burden for the year-round Margatian.
You know, some have suggested that what Mr. Christie did with the George Washington Bridge shutdown, a vindictive move towards the mayor of that town that didn't go along for the ride, some suggest that Mr. Christie is was forcing dunes and outfall pipes much the same way as he was penalizing the folks up there trying to cross that bridge. But that's just a conspiracy theory.
Mel, welcome to my world. With this pilot legislation that has gone through, which makes the casinos happy, also the revenues will come in for the state of New Jersey. The taxpayer in this county is protected. I am very pleased with the settlement. You know, someone asked me, well, is it constitutional or isn't it? If you're asking me, it's not, but at the same time, I'm not a judge.
I think Seth Grossman from Liberty and Prosperity, he gets the sense that Judge Mendez was in a tight spot because if you were to rule the pilot unconstitutional, who knows what type of financial chaos could ensue?
That's interesting. Gaming venues everywhere in this country and the world, whether in Mississippi, New York, Pennsylvania, Delaware,
Florida, Nevada, they've all figured out a way to tax and assess casinos properly and fairly. They did not need a pilot. And that's a question that begs to be answered. How can all of these other states figure out the value of a casino, whether they're counting the slot machines or the numbers of table
hotel
games?
And in the beginning, it made sense because there were no comparables back in the late 70s. And that was to really assess the properties based on the construction costs. And with the hurry-up construction, there were costs that were just over the top. The casinos were literally assessed based on the construction costs because there was no other metric to track. But wouldn't it make sense to track revenue?
How are casinos assessed in Nevada, in Florida, in Delaware, in Pennsylvania? How are they doing this and doing it successfully? Why do we need an unconstitutional pilot because the casinos were overassessed? The state knew they were overassessed. What they did is they increased the value of the casinos to meet budgetary needs. You can't do that. You have to assess them on their value. So consequently, this also hurt the taxpayers of Atlantic County. To date, we gave back to Atlantic City because their overassessment, $65 million. This year in my budget, I have to find $6 million. Last year, $7 million. The year before, $15 million before I even start. So the overassessment has hurt everybody, with the blessing of the state of New Jersey.
And that's because the state of New Jersey is set up this way. That's how things got out of hand.
The state of New Jersey, if there is a special interest state, the state of New Jersey is. Connecticut's another one. California's another one. New York is another one. What do they have in common? They're
blue.
Listen, they're extremely liberal and it comes to a point where, as Margaret Thatcher said, pretty soon, you run out of other people's money.
Sun, fun, news and info from Atlantic City. This is AC Primetime Radio with Mel Taylor. Find us online at acprimetime.com.